Okay, welcome to the first class of Introduction to Linux Kernel Development for the spring 2023 semester. First thing, we're going to go over some notes on just what this class is and what you need to know if you're going to
Maybe
take
we
this
should
class,
introduce ourselves.
syllabus
Better.
stuff. So yes, we should introduce ourselves. So first of all, yes, my name is Joel. Joel Savitz. I am a software engineer at Red Hat. I work on the Linux kernel, and specifically the Red Hat Enterprise Linux kernel.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I also work at Red Hat. Also working on the Linux kernel on RHEL on Red Hat Enterprise Linux. I'm working on specifically like getting it working on multiple platforms, something like ARM systems or RISC-V or other architectures, enabling it on those platforms.
Hi, I'm Dennis. I'm an intern right now, and I'll be TAing this course. Intern at Red Hat, and I'm doing some. This is one of the projects I'm doing, but the other main one that I'm going to be continuing soon is trying to improve how memory is getting copied from, they're copied or erased between virtual and physical memory.
Cool.
I mean, so I guess to clarify, so Charlie and I are the main guest instructors for this course, and as Dan said, he's a TA, and I think that's probably enough to get started. So now I guess we'll dive into. So first of all, there's this link. Our website is kdlp.underground.software. Yes, it's a cool name, and so there's a page, course application. So the first assignment. Well, it's just requires you to submit some information. You just send an email to this email address, kdlpapplication@googlegroups.com, just with your name. Send it from your UMass email address, so we have that. Your current status in school. You should answer this question. Answer this question. I mean, resume, honestly, it's good. It's good
This.
to do. If you don't have a resume, don't let that stop you from sending it. If you have a resume, attach it. And your Discord username. You do, Discord is required for this course, actually.
Or at
And
least
if you
that's we're gonna have we have a Discord server where you're gonna like if you want questions like the easiest way. And so I mean I guess it's not technically required, but like
yeah,
highly,
you
highly recommended.
You yeah, like you can take it without it. You don't have to, like, if you don't do Discord, if you're like very against it for, philosophical or ideological or religious reasons, then you don't have to use Discord. But highly recommended. And we hope, like, we're putting effort into making it an enriching experience in a number of ways, more so than last semester, and previous semesters, whatever. Anyway, so if you want to use a different email, so I'd recommend attaching a Gmail.
If you
Like
have
putting
one.
it in your Gmail if you have one, or like some kind of email that you can use, like on our mailing list, because you'll be submitting patches on a mailing list, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And also, we may be sharing some Google Docs with you, but we're trying to move away from the whole Google Docs thing because it can be kind of cumbersome. And this one, align certifying the developer certificate of origin. So go here, click on this, you'll find out what it is. It's like the signed off by line. If you ever seen like a like you ever see
Drop
this
video,
thing
zoom in. Yeah.
signed off by Joel Savitz, J.
And I
Savitz,
guess, yeah, this
gmail.com,
application, we have this, it's mostly, I mean, complete it, right? We are looking mostly for the Discord username and the email. That's like that's the important information. It's kind of a formality. Like we have this page for people who are applying, who, because you're enrolled in this class, like there's a certain amount of you're already enrolled in college and you have prerequisites and so forth, so they're less, we trust that, we don't need to put additional barriers and say, oh, you must complete this and whatever. We trust that you're probably qualified already for this class, so not all this is totally applicable, but please, you could even do it right now.
Yeah, like get started with this. Send it. Oh, you already sent it. Okay, great.
Perfect. Yeah. And if you fill that in, we'll you know, if we see those coming in, maybe one of us will be watching that. And we can reply with an invite to the Discord server if you send us your Discord username. Yeah, that's just good to get that out of the way right now. But yeah, we can probably go back to the policies.
So now we can kind of talk about, you know, what this is. So first of all, we sent the link.
We are going to share all those documents on Blackboard as well. But more importantly, right, we actually have one Google Drive we are going to share very shortly after this one, right? And then you will have all these documents, all the slides, right? All the recordings.
And I think they're also on the website.
Everything there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we're moving, you know, we're trying to kind of streamline things, and you'll see. We'll get to it and explain it. But yes, part of the point of submitting this application is that we have your email, we have your Gmail that we can use to put on. We'll put it on a mailing list or a couple of mailing lists, as we'll explain, and then we'll use that to. Yeah. So, by the way, you will get a direct invitation to this session. Like, you will get the Google Meet link, and you can join directly. And we will. If that's more convenient, you know, like, because we don't know who's in the classroom, honestly, but, you know, we will know who's on the Google Meet. So, you know, anyways.
Joe, and one thing here, right? So today, right, so our classroom would be slightly different to the one we had last semester. And right now, the screen is kind of one corner, right? So that means that we probably need to have quite large font every time you share this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's fine. You know, it's just some things might be a little awkward, but, you know, we can. So is this good or good? Or, you know, do you like the.
Yeah, right now it's good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So if it's ever too small, please let us know. Yeah.
Okay. Let's just say something right away. We'll try and fix it. We'll just go over. We have this. Purpose. I mean, we kind of did the syllabus in an online format. You know, we may be making some slight tweaks here and there, but this is essentially what it's going to be. So obviously the purpose of the course, we want to introduce students to the concepts, tools, and framework necessary for independent work on the Linux kernel. So the goal is to get you to the point where you feel comfortable working on the Linux kernel yourself, or at least like you know the kind of ideas and tools that you would need to go learn specific aspects of it, right? You would have kind of the baseline level of knowledge to make the subject approachable. And, you know, as you know, sprinkle in some actual practical applications here and there. But the kernel is a very wide subject area. And so this is, of course, going to be a very broad introduction. So course description, I mean, you saw this in the catalog. We're not just going to reread this, but, you know, very widely used operating system. And we're going to tell you about it. And just, you know, feel free to read this on your own time.
Yeah, it's the course description, from you.
Yeah, yeah. So, and obviously this is on the website. This is the live website. So, you know, this program will focus a lot on C programming. You will do a lot of C programming, and we assume and rely on your knowledge and very competent knowledge of the C programming language, which we will have assignments that will require it. You will see. So you will be doing you'll make some kernel modules. We have a number of different interesting assignments there. We will try and gauge to the point where you can, you know, what you need to participate in online open source communities, and participate over Git, whether it be on like GitHub or, you know, over a Git email list. We'll have you, you know, if you know how to contribute to Git repositories or open source projects on an email list, you'll definitely know how to contribute on GitHub, and you'll have a deeper understanding of Git and source control. So we will require you to submit your homework on an email list in the form of Git email patches, which we will explain. And of course, we want to have you demonstrate, you know, develop the ability to explain these concepts and the things that you've learned in your own words. Kind of like you would do in a job interview, you know, so you could sit down and comfortably talk about what you've learned and what you know and what you're able to do, and maybe, you know, explain it to a non-technical person, ideally. So there is only really one required material. The second one's just sort of a joke, but I mean, it's not really a joke, but it's free, sort of. Well, you know, it doesn't cost money, but mainly you just need a Linux environment to which you have root access and ideally physical access. So we, the recommended solution is a VM, like we'll talk about a little bit more. And I mean, you could dual boot. You know, if you run Linux on your system, like you can just use your own Linux system. But like if you put in a faulty module into the kernel, let's say, or you like deadlock one of your CPUs, like you'll have to reboot the computer. Or if you just like start like doing random writes, you know, to arbitrary addresses in the kernel, like weird stuff will happen. So we recommend using a VM where you can just kill the VM and restart it. And ideally physical access, you know, if you have some kind of machine somewhere that you root access to, like that can work if you know what you're doing. But, you know, and if you have an extra computer, like don't go and buy an extra computer specifically for this, you know, but like you have an extra computer that runs Linux, you can also use that. But we recommend don't use your main computer. You can, but not recommended. So here we have a tentative schedule. The content that we'll be covering in each week will be what is required to complete each assignment. So, you know, we'll talk about these later, but there's a rough idea. And then we can get into some of the course policies. Course application down here, this is
maybe before while you're there. I mean, on the right-hand column, you'll see these L0, Lecture 0, Lecture 1. Those are going to eventually be replaced with links containing notes and a link to the recording and other things. As we go along, I mean, right now there's nothing there because we haven't had any lectures while we're having the first one right now. But you can come back here. This will always have the most up-to-date version of the policy, you know, the most up-to-date version of the due dates, et cetera, and all of the notes, everything will be there.
Honestly, we could just use these numbers as the links, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, there'll be something here. This is the place to go for the live syllabus. This is where we'll be updating things. So, yes, online syllabus. So we'll get to the policies, but first I guess we'll talk a little bit about other general things. I don't know, any other comments from the other instructors?
Yeah, I guess before we continue, right, we want to ask if the whole class, right, have certain questions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can take the questions from here, okay?
Yeah, there are any questions, please. Yes, yeah.
And then hopefully, right, for example, after this part, right, is it possible that we can kind of show all the assignment, right? Basically, what those assignments will be.
Certainly. About, right? Yeah, we're going to talk about very soon.
Yeah. Yeah, and by doing that, right, so the whole class will be able to know exactly, right, what they can learn if they really work on those assignments by themselves, right?
Certainly, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes. So first of all, I'd like to take questions for the class. Yeah.
Do you know BMW on Mac, right? Yeah.
So we will, is this a question about Mac? We will cover that later in the VM section.
Yeah, things that they're going to cover, right?
I think you know it might be better to go through what we've already prepared because we might answer some of these questions. Honestly, like we have a set of things that we prepared to talk about, and we'll stop. You know, eventually we'll get into discussion of the policies and the assignments, and so I think we'll stop before that. But some of this,
if people have questions as we're explaining, you know, they can raise their hands. And if you see that, Professor Chen, you know, please feel free to interrupt us. Yeah.
I guess right now they probably already have some question, right?
We may have the answers prepared. So keep your questions ready. We will answer them.
Yeah.
But we may also just answer them, you know, in this thing.
Yeah.
So this is all right. So.
Yeah. Joe, I need to take a few minutes, okay?
Okay. Yeah. Please go ahead. Some questions.
Right, okay, VM with a Mac, right? One thing that Joe is going to introduce is a solution there, right? But at the same time, we are also thinking about building one server and then we have multiple VM on that. And then you guys will be able to use that as well. Okay. Yeah. Any other question? So any question? about how the calls will be conducted, and also, for example,
I mean, I'm curious about whether we're going to meet in the class, given that it's going to be on Google Meet. But I'm assuming also Charlie and Joel will answer.
Yeah, they will answer. Yeah, and then, for example, if you show up on Google Meet, right, then that will be also be taken as the attendance as well, right? So you
attend. Yeah, we will. That will count as attendance in our books. We won't keep track of who's in the room.
So one thing we really hope that you can basically, we can introduce the assignment and then you probably will know what you can learn from those assignments.
We will. That is coming up. Okay. But we have some things prepared that will hopefully answer questions.
I guess they do not have many questions, but you can continue and then
if they have any, please interrupt.
We want to save another 5 or 10 minutes at the end of this course.
Absolutely.
For the questions. Okay.
Of course. All right. Yeah. Okay. So this is not like other classes. So this is a different format than most classes. I mean, it's very hands-on. We have a nice little feature at the end that we will announce that'll hopefully people will be very happy about. But the course, we try to, what we say, like encapsulate the ethos of open source development, right? We're trying to kind of simulate like what it's like to work on open source projects, either like independently or, in an industry job. And, there's a number of open source companies. Obviously, Red Hat is one of them. And we want to show you kind of try to simulate kind of like a low stakes kind of like training wheels type of environment, but with real purpose to show what it's like to submit code and to, to review each other's code and to, to work in that environment. So you will be doing practical C coding, plenty of C coding. Cannot emphasize this enough. You really need to know C very well, and you will use those skills. And research. You will be, expected to Google things and like look up manual pages. And we'll teach you different techniques for research, like how to read manual pages and how to look through things in the kernel. And there'll be some assignments related to that, which we'll get into. But get ready for that. So we will have public submissions. So you will be submitting your work to a mailing list, and it's designed in such a way that the submissions are relatively unique. So it's not like you can just copy and paste them, right? It's a little more complicated than that. But you will be posting. You can see each other's submissions, and you will be expected to peer review each other's assignments as part of your grade on the assignments. So it's not just about getting the right answer. You have to present your work and explain why it's right. Present it in a nice format, and do things kind of in the way that would be expected of you if you were submitting to an open source project. So, like, why would you care? Like, why is the grind worth it? Like, it's definitely going to be a grind. It's definitely going to be different. Hopefully, so for some of you, it may be easier than others. For some of you, it may be newer. But like we said, this will help you practice skills for industry, right? And we're coming from industry. That's where we're inspired to do this because of the shortfall that we've seen between some of the stuff we did in school at UMass Lowell and some of the stuff that that we're doing in industry. We want to emphasize communication skills, interpersonal communication skills on technical subjects, an environment that actually is something like you'll be working with. We already, obviously we have careers in CS in the tech industry, but we also may be able to bring in people, who've worked in the industry for a lot longer, who are more expert than us, to talk about various things. You'll be working with a larger code base, in school. Generally, you work on small one-off assignments. Working with Linux, you're working with one of the biggest code bases out there. And you'll learn how to navigate this code base and, how to kind of grok it somewhat. And of course, you will be working with Git. You'll definitely be doing a lot of like relatively, non-trivial operations with Git. And hopefully you will become relatively competent with Git and with other Linux utilities that we will discuss. So, and if you're interested in kernel development, you may not know you're interested in kernel development. You may be interested in kernel development. That's why you're here. Well, we're Linux kernel developers. I mean, we work on the Linux kernel and the surrounding area full time, Charlie and I, and Dennis as an intern. And so, like we said, we can potentially bring in senior developers from Red Hat. We might have a couple guest lecturers. That's completely pending. No promises, but we'll see what we can do. And we will be, so we are partnered with the Linux Foundation. This is a new thing this semester. And, you know, I guess I could just show this, you know, this LFX thing right now. We, you know, you don't have to do this to get the grade in the course, but we highly recommend that you sign up on this platform. You sign up as a mentor on the Linux Foundation platform. And then when you complete the course and you demonstrate that, you know, you you demonstrate competence that we would say is like suitable for, you know, an internship or an entry level kernel job, you know, we will mark you on here as graduated. And, you know, you will be shown on this like Linux Foundation's page as, you know, it looks like here, if you look at like mentors or not mentors, mentees, you know, you'll be like, you'll be listed on this website as having, you know, completed our mentorship, which, you know, you can show an employer, or, I don't know, it can hopefully, you can put it on your resume. Hopefully it'll be a little more than just, you know, you can put it on your LinkedIn, a little more than just like having it on your transcript. So we recommend that you sign up for that as well. And so I think one of us will post a link to this in the chat and, you know, send it out to the mailing list potentially once, yeah. Once we get started with that. So that's, you know, that's a pretty significant new thing. So I will mention at the same time, there will be kind of a cohort of people where for the first time, there's a cohort of people who will be taking kind of a similar thing to what you guys are doing just through the Linux Foundation directly. And they will also be in the Discord server. And the mailing list, things, they'll be mostly separate in a lot of ways, but you know, you will interact.
They may come, some of them may come to this meeting, it's possible, you know.
Yeah, some of them may show up to the class as well. So yeah. We're somewhat familiar with the code base, and you know, we'll show you around, and you know, with the mailing list workflow. So you will be you know, if you have questions about that, I mean, obviously, you know, we're expecting you to do it. And so we're expecting that we're able to explain it. So, you know, if you have questions, you know, always feel free to ask, you know, the Discord, over email, you know, you can set up like a side meeting, you know, if you need a specific one-on-one help with one of us. So like we were saying, by the add drop date or ASAP, you should see if you can secure a Linux environment to which you have root access. The UMass Lowell CS servers are not satisfactory. Windows subsystem for Linux is not satisfactory. You need an environment in which you will be able to compile a custom kernel, because you will be doing that. I think Yin Chen mentioned something about potentially providing virtual machines. If the school is able to do that, that's great. I don't know about that yet, but you know, that would be an option. If you could run your own virtual machine, that would be even better.
This is also crucial for one of the assignments that's due before add drop. So it's very important that you do this like as soon as possible.
And we'll have some more information as you scroll down. We'll talk about it. But
yeah, this is the sole hurdle that you need to overcome in order to start working on this course. Like this is the equipment. You know, all the materials are open source. There's no textbook or anything. You can dual boot, but again, it's nice to have a VM like in a window where, you know, you can just SSH into your VM and then just close the window, you know, if it's not responding, or kill the virtualization software. And you know, if you have a second machine, you can use that too. You can SSH into it. That's always, you know, a thing, but you know, don't, you know, like if you have one, you can use a second machine. So yeah, that's just like we were saying. So set up your virtual machine ASAP.
I was going to say, yeah, there is that important note. Even if you are using Linux already, if you have a Linux machine, yes, you could use your main machine, but because we're working on the kernel, which is right at the bottom of the stack, you know, if something goes wrong, you could lose data. You could, you know, corrupt the machine, have to do, you know, it probably not going to do damage to the hardware, but you could, you know, totally screw up the machine and have to, you know, but so if you have a virtual machine, no big deal. You know, worst case scenario, you just make a new one. But if you're using your actual main machine, I mean, that's up to you, right? But even if you're running Linux as your daily driver, we'd still recommend that you you look into a VM, and yeah, it should be possible. As you're saying, set up the VM ASAP. If you're on Windows or on Intel Mac, there's VirtualBox. That's free software that you can use. If you're on Linux, there's a program called Qemu you can set up. And I think maybe there are people who had questions about a Mac. It should be possible to, and I have not tried this personally, but there is something I've heard of called UTM. You can look it up. I think there's a free version. I think you can pay for it, but there's also a free version. And you can run, you can't run an x86 Linux machine on an ARM machine, but you can run an ARM Linux machine on an ARM machine. And that's totally fine. Like, you don't have to be running an x86 machine. This class will be fine on either architecture. But yeah, you can look at this program UTM, and the version of Linux we're recommending, Fedora, supports both x86 and ARM. So either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're watching this recording from the, as a Linux Foundation mentee, you may be interacting with students from UMass Lowell in the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that too. So we recommend, another thing on this point, like, you technically, you can use your own machine, but, and I have done that, but like, you could, it's not recommended. Like, you can do something stupid. I have done that. So like, I've like rebooted my machine like mid, during this class. I'm like from booting I don't know if it was during the class, but I was like testing, someone's code at some point, a student's code on my own machine. And then I was like, what's the worst that could happen? My machine instantly reboots. So, that's my own fault.
Pretty severe.
Yeah. So we recommend Fedora Linux, and we will provide instructions to do things on open source on Fedora Linux. So it's a fully open source distro, everything about it, like, that's like their thing. They're one of the biggest, they don't allow stuff that isn't open source. If you want stuff that's closed source, you have to go through some hoops. And so they have all the architectures that are, probably relevant, and you can set up a VM with it. And then we recommend that you SSH into the VM from your host machine, and not use it through, whatever like window system, like virtualization window that pops up, because then the main thing is like, you can't copy and paste stuff in and out very easily. You can take some work. It's just much cleaner and easier, and it's recommended if you just SSH in.
Yeah, and then you can just run the whole thing headless, which will probably make it more lightweight. If instead of having to draw the window and everything, that can use resources. There are usually options within the, within the virtualization software to just not even open up a window. You just start with the machine and it connects, and then you're able to access it over the network, within your local network and SSH into it.
So we can.
Maybe we could break for questions
very quickly. Yeah. Before we're going to go over course policies, talk about the introductory assignments that we're going to start with, and then we'll briefly go over all the assignments as we've created them so far. So, yes, we can stop here for questions. Are there any questions?
Any questions? Yeah. What type of question do you have, right? Okay. So. Yes. On the wait list, yeah.
I see this.
Okay, yeah. Yes, I mean, for example, we are going to first finish this class, right? And then if you are really interested in that, right, I'm going to give you the permission number, then you'll be able to enroll, and then you'll be able to work on the assignment. Okay, so the first two, they are very straightforward. Okay, don't worry about that. Yeah.
You can work on the assignments not even being enrolled.
Yes,
in the
class. Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, you can enroll you can do the assignments whenever. You can enroll on the Linux Foundation platform as well. So you won't get course credit. Just the graduate section too.
Yeah. When you submit the assignment, you basically send them over the email list, right? They are going to tell you how to do that.
It's yeah. very interesting. Yeah.
So if you're on the list and you're if you're on the waiting list or whatever, you can go to the same application link that we're talking about, and you can send us an email, and we'll get you in the same channels, you know, as everything else. You know, we'll all the people, all the students will make sure that we have the list of students and put you on a list, and you'll get an invite to this meeting. You know, please send us an email. And
yeah, by the way, the application is due by midnight tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's really more of a formality, right? Like, we're not going to reject people based on this application, but please send us something so we can get you in the Discord and everything.
Yeah,
it's gonna be annoying for you if you're not on these lists. You'll still be getting a grade, so it'll be hard.
Any further questions? Okay, yeah. So I guess the big thing is about the assignment, and also I'm glad to see that the certificate things, right? It's really big. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if a student can basically by taking this course, right, will be able to both earn the credit here and also having one certificate, right? That's really nice. Okay. So maybe Joe and also Charles, you can talk about the assignments, right? Basically to provide students the big picture, right? So what we can really achieve, right?
So yeah, you know what? Maybe we could go over the assignments first, like the high level of the assignments before.
Yeah,
I see what you mean. That's probably a good idea. And by the way, for the mentorship, we had like a few hundred applications that were submitted.
We had to really
constrain it. But everyone here at UMass Lowell gets in automatically. That's the benefit.
We should be given a higher priority, right?
No, yes. You get in. Like
There's no limit.
We decide if you get in or not. You know, it's just how many people we can handle. If you're in this class and you sign up, you're in. You know,
so
there's no reason not to do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Assuming that you receive a passing grade,
All right, so we can go through this. So assignment zero. So we start out, get comfortable. You're going to just send an email patch. It's quite straightforward.
And we'll talk about it more at the end, like the details, but you know, this is to introduce
we'll demonstrate. So this is also to make sure that you know what you're doing, to make sure that you do it in the right format. You know, you don't have white space errors. You don't, you can generate a cover letter. You have get send email properly configured. You know, we can show you how to do it for Gmail. You know, yeah,
great. So I have questions here. Okay.
Yep. Mm.
My question is, how are the presentations? Are they doing class? Are they one on one, or is it like pre-recorded?
We prefer not to be recording, right? So we want you to, basically that's also part of the course, right? Technical presentation, communication is really important, particularly if you want to go to the industry, right? You need to make sure that your presentation is vivid, is invited, right? And so for that reason, we want you to for particular reason you have to do it online, it's okay. But we prefer that you're able to face a big audience and then talk about your work, right? So for all these assignments, they are kind of have a higher degree of freedom. So you actually will be able to implement a lot of your own thoughts. Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, sure. Okay. So we can continue. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there may be some slight differences in how we do the assignments from last semester. I mean, I think for the most part, for the students at UMass Lowell, it'll be roughly the same. We might have some tweaks on like the what exactly we're asking for and some of the requirements. So it might not be exactly the same if you talk to people from last semester. For people on LFX or in weird time zones, we may ask for some kind of short pre-recorded thing. And but there will definitely be parts. We may arrange some sessions. We'll figure something out. But for UMass Lowell students, I think we'll definitely try and do some live presentation. That's a big part of it. That's A0. A1, slightly different this semester. You're going to write a shell. And this is to make sure that you are familiar with system calls and have a good background knowledge of C. We provide a number of kind of steps for different levels. So you start small, you just have like a loop, you know, and you press enter, it prints the prompt, you know, and it prints the working directory. The next one, it just reads input, you know, it doesn't do anything. And it's very small steps, and you build it up gradually, and it explains what system calls you use. And this is like, there should be a lot of information online about this. It's like a very standard project, you know, Googling other stuff. Like, don't, you know, don't copy code from online, but like, feel free to like, you know, look online for inspiration and, you know, but there's a couple of quirks, you know, with this assignment that are slightly different. And so if you really have a great time, you know, there's always bonus stuff you can add. And then we'll ask you to submit it as a patch set, of course. So
this is just, you know, an opportunity to, and I think, we should say the first assignment is going to be due basically tomorrow. Because again, we want to make sure people have their environment set up that they're ready to engage. And then these next two assignments, we're giving you until the end of the add drop period. And these three sort of constitute the introduction, getting ready. We want to make sure that, you know, these assignments may be a little bit challenging. It may be a little bit steep of a, you know, the course is a bit front heavy, but if you get through these first three assignments, it should hopefully be more straightforward after that. And I think that we wanted to put them up front so people, you know, have an opportunity to try them and get a sense, because again, if these are really a real struggle, then you may want to consider dropping the course. And we just wanted to give you an opportunity to try these ones that we think are actually somewhat challenging. And if you complete these and you're, you know, you do well on them, then you're almost certainly ready and it's not going to be too bad the rest of the semester. But if these ones are very challenging for you, it might not be a good fit. But so that's why we, it's a little bit front loaded, but we figured it was better to show you how it is, you know, and show you maybe the worst that it can get. I mean, hopefully not, it's really not that bad, but show you some, you know, go right into the deep end a little bit and give people a chance to try these assignments so that they have an opportunity to decide before the add drop period whether or not they want to keep doing it if it isn't a good fit.
And I mean, we hope by, you know, by doing the shell, you know, that'll like, you know, you'll gain a better understanding of system calls and kind of the entry point for where you interact with the operating system. Because we have a number of different assignments, as you'll see, that show kind of different parts, you know, of the whole stack of how you get, you know, from user space all the way down to, you know, what goes on in the kernel, how you customize that behavior, you know, where the information flows, and those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So that's what I think I heard from Ian. Yeah.
So I kind of partially agree with Charlie's, right? So you two are also UMass Lowell computer science alumni, right? So I believe that you guys also believe for most of our fellow students here, right? They should be able to finish the first three assignments, right?
Of course.
So let's have some faith in them, right? That's one thing. And the other thing is
you can do it.
Yeah, you can do it.
And we're here to help. You know, we want you to succeed. We don't want you to not succeed. Yeah. You know,
yeah, totally. And the other thing is that the good thing is that we have multiple people here for the course, right? So that means that we will be able to answer questions more timely, right? If they come across questions when working on this, right?
They can. There's,
so we have more than one instructor on this course, right? So that's the plus side of that. Okay.
You know, if they post something on the Discord, you know, I mean, I can't guarantee we're going to be looking at it 24/7, but we very well may be. You know, it's always there. It's always open.
If you send me a message at 3 a.m., you know, it'll set off an alarm clock. You know, bang.
Try and answer it timely. We want you to succeed. We're here for you. And I think that these assignments they're challenging, but they're also rewarding. And I think that hopefully by the end of it, it will be, if you complete these, A, you will know that you're like totally ready for this class. And, you know, two, you'll feel a sense of accomplishment. These are, you know, cool assignments. Building your own shell is a cool thing. Saying that you've compiled the Linux kernel and are running your own customized kernel, those are both, that's, you know, I spoiled it a little bit. You know, that's what A2 is.
You can see it.
Right here.
It says it right here. Yeah.
Yeah, those are great things that, you know, and I mean, these are also projects that you could totally, I mean, especially the shell, you could definitely put that on your resume. You could definitely, you know, say it's, I mean, you could say it's
a project. I don't think you do it in any other class, actually. Like, you learn everything you need to know, you learn in Computing 2 and, like, honestly, yeah, really Computing 2. And then the rest, you could just, like, Google the basics, you know. I don't know if they really, like, teach you system calls exactly, but, you just use it like a function call. And, you know, we'll show you how to browse the man pages and, like, the standards for that. Mm-hmm. So we'll introduce this stuff and, you know, we'll answer questions. Like, we won't leave you hanging and just say, you know. But on the other hand, if you want to just say, oh, I'm going to go in and do, like, all, you know, all the assignments, like, you know, first 3 weeks, like, go right ahead. Yeah. Like, if you get it in 3 weeks. Great. Good for you. You know, you can, you know,
it's all here. Good. Yeah.
Cool. It's all here. Yeah. I mean, we may make some slight tweaks to the last, to the final assignments. But I think roughly through assignment 6, you need a couple of things for some of the later assignments, but,
you're welcome to look ahead.
Yeah. And we could potentially, you know, if you get to that point, you submit all the other stuff, we could potentially, you know, provide the information that you need. So, but yeah, you're welcome to look at it. But anyways, A2 is building, installing, and booting the Linux kernel, if you haven't read this already. And that's essentially it. We provide instructions. Pretty much this is how you do it. It's a pretty standard process, right? But for some reason, it's never so straightforward. But yeah, it's really, it's, you know, you can build and compile the kernel.
It's not difficult. It just takes a certain amount of time. Yeah,
it's just, yeah, it's not difficult. It's just a hassle, and there may be some weird things that you can run into. You know, you can. I mean, you'll see. Like,
but yeah, I mean, that's why we're sharing.
There's
this
a reason
now,
with the roller coaster emoji. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
We want there to be plenty of time.
This is the reason why you need a Linux environment, because otherwise you can't do it. So yeah, I mean, you will. Yeah, you need a Linux.
And it's helpful
for the next like 5 assignments too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it's helpful for all the whole course. So,
but like especially, maybe you could get it. Well, I mean, yeah, no, honestly, you really, yeah, you pretty much need it for all of them, and that's, you know, that's why. But we wanted to put something right here at the beginning that, yeah, this is, if you can do this, then you definitely have an adequate environment, and so, you know, that's why you put it right at the beginning. Some of the other ones, this one may be a little bit intimidating. Some of the others may be actually easier, but, you know, this is a great way to make sure. I mean, it's an accomplishment. It's something good to do. But it's also just a way to make sure that you're ready for the other stuff. And yeah, I mean, I think that it's, as Joel's saying, it's pretty straightforward. It's a process that you can just follow the steps. It's all right here. There are other guides on the internet too. It's like not, you know, this is something a lot of people do, but it is, there's just, you never know. There's always gonna be small things that you'll run into that can be challenging. And obviously we're happy to help with your questions. But yeah, you know, it's an experience, and again, we want to get these things. We want to tell you about these things soon, so that you have plenty of time to look into this, plenty of time to complete this, you know, before the EDRA period. And you know, we're sharing it all now so that you can plan around that. Yeah, but you do. I guess we can go over briefly, you know, some of the future assignments. Yeah, but these are the important ones.
Yeah, talk about them. Me too. Yeah, these are the important ones. You're gonna do, like, start working on them as soon as possible. I mean, the kernel one, like, it doesn't take as long. It just takes a while to compile the kernel, like, especially
if
you just have
the actual effort. I would recommend,
like, sort of, like, this is how you do it. It's pretty much going to be almost exactly these commands. You know,
I would honestly recommend maybe working on both A1 and A2 at the same time. Maybe even start with A2 because it takes a certain amount of time to compile the kernel. Like, there's just, you know, it takes, like, depending on the machine, it may take a couple of hours, and so the feedback can be kind of slow. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can be working on the shell while you are, you know, doing this. And, you know, that way, you know, even if the compiling kernel takes a certain amount of time, really the effort is not very large. It's just following these steps. And maybe you have a question or something, and if it, you know, figure something out. But mostly it is just watching it sit and spin and you know, complete. And so you can be working on the shell during that time. And you can hopefully get both of those done by 2 weeks. I think it's perfectly reasonable. You know, if you start early.
I think sorry to interrupt, but
no, you're good.
I think we should maybe breeze through the policies
and then, certainly,
and then show how to do.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, probably.
So wait, why don't I just spend, like, you know, 120 seconds on the other assignments here?
Sure.
A little taste of what's coming. A3. You're gonna add a new syscall to the kernel. That's gonna be interesting. So you're gonna have to recompile the kernel. If you use ccache, which we'll explain, this should be pretty quick.
If you just don't clean the build,
be pretty straightforward.
If you've already built it, yeah, it's gonna be easy.
So yeah, by the way, in this thing, assignments are generally due, we'll explain by the policy, generally due Monday, unless we say otherwise here. A4 scavenger hunt, you're gonna we'll give you a syscall and you're gonna trace how that syscall behaves, and you're gonna use this BPF trace program to see what's going on live in the kernel and kind of see the interaction, how the data is passed on. You can use strace. It's going to be interesting. And, it's kind of just like a lab. You just kind of go through. It's pretty straightforward. 5, building character. You're going to write a character driver, and you're going to add some features to a character driver that will give you the starter code. And then Yeah, you'll see it's a certain type, way of interacting with the kernel that, uses characters, literally just characters, So A4, A5, A6, implement a spec. What's this little square here? I don't know if
it's the emoji.
Yeah, I don't have the emoji. I don't know.
Another fun little emoji there.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, you'll put a character driver based on a given spec in a test program. So we'll give you a spec and you implement a character driver based on the spec. Specs that we've already tested and used, you'll see. And then these potentially, we're going to clean these up a little bit. It'll be roughly like this, but you're going to write your own specification for a character driver that does something cool, and it's intentionally open-ended. This is a little more creative. And then you're going to implement someone else's specification. So that's another reason we want to make sure everyone is very solid with C and with the basics, because someone else is going to be getting your character driver specification, so we hope you know what you're doing. Although we have backups, we have other, if they're, we're not going to give you a spec that is shoddy. Okay.
The presentations, maybe we should briefly mention there's going to be some final presentation at the end. These are not in there yet. We've not decided on the exact dates. This is still, again, a little bit up in the air, but there's going to be two presentations. It's going to be some sort of midpoint presentation, which we're thinking maybe a little bit of maybe a research thing. Maybe we'll give you a topic to do a little bit of research, something maybe about Linux or about, we're not sure. This is a little bit up in the air.
Yeah, it could be something that you can choose, because the most interesting presentations were people looked into something that they found cool, mm-hmm. and they found some interesting stuff because, it's not as interesting to but you'll just be demonstrating what you've done kind of in a way that we hope would prepare you to talk about it.
It'll be not too long. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, maybe 10-15 minutes.
This is not a link yet.
Maybe five to seven. I think we said maybe 7 to 10 minutes. I think that was what that one was last time.
Yeah.
And then, at the end, there's going to be a final presentation. We're going to talk about everything that you've done this semester, present, the stuff that you worked on. And again, that one's maybe going to be a little bit longer. Maybe
peer review process. Yeah,
we will 10 to 12, maybe a little bit longer, 12 to 15 minutes.
I guess let's go through the policies, and we'll mention the submission guidelines and peer review. We might honestly get into that next time. No, we'll mention peer review.
Let's talk about the policies. Right. Yeah.
Policies. Okay, policies. So we'll just quickly run through these. So, assignment procedure. So for coding assignments, they must be submitted in the format of plain text unless we say otherwise. Sometimes we got some weird formats. Don't do that. It's just annoying. Plain text is the easiest for you. It's the easiest for us. Just use plain text. You must submit your assignments in the form of email code patches, and they must conform, pretend that says conform, to all Linux kernel coding standards that are sane in a particular context. So we will show you how to use scripts that will check for formatting errors. It might say something about, there's no entry for, in the maintainers file, things, you can ignore those. We'll talk about that a little more.
Yeah, certain. But, and if it's not code, then, you don't have, but if it's C code, you have to follow the C code style, et cetera. So whatever's relevant, but generally where possible, you're going to be following the kernel coding standard.
Submissions must not contain white space errors. So basically, when you apply a patch, and it'll either say nothing or it'll say white space error. And it's very easily checkable. You have the file, you run a command, and it'll either say nothing or give you an error. So do not send in patches of white space errors. We reserve the right not to grade them at all, but you know, realistically, you'll just lose points. Please don't do it. It's very easy to check. Easy way to lose points. So we will provide detailed guidelines for automated checking. So we are working on automation to do these things. So far, we don't have a ton of automation yet. Quite little, in fact.
Our aim is to, you know, make it clear that if, you know, you should be able to tell all these policies, you know, it should not be up to interpretation. It should be something that you can test. And we can say, look, we know you didn't because here's how you could have tested it and you would have known. And we'll explain more about that. And you know, I think, right, and for this very first assignment, the one that's due tomorrow, some of this stuff does not matter. You're not actually really going to be sending any code. And so some of this stuff may not apply. But we will we'll explain that more in greater detail. But, you know, these standards will become more important as you're actually writing more code, you know, even for the assignments that are due at the add drop date. But so, yeah, follow the guidelines. We'll explain them in greater detail soon.
So students, yeah, so you will participate in peer review, and that is part of the coding assignment. And of course, some code submission that fails to compile with zero warnings and zero errors will receive a zero. Occasionally, we receive code that didn't compile. Like, just don't even bother submitting it if it doesn't compile. Like, it's not, you know, it's better to just say, you know, I was not able to get it to work and, you know, send a note. Like that. And the point isn't to do this stuff necessarily to be a hardo, right? The point is, like, you know, we want to prepare you to, you know, do high quality work, then go into the industry and say, like, you know, be ready to put in your best and you know, because you don't always get to choose the standards, you know, in which you're working and which you're coding. So
and like ask us questions, you know, like start the assignments early, ask us questions, get help. Instead of starting it at the last day, you know, oops, I've got 3 hours. Oh man, start typing like crazy. Come up with something that doesn't really work or barely compiles. You know, submit it hastily. You know, just start early, stay on top of it. Like it should not be too bad.
Yeah, think of this. You know, think like someone with a job, not like a student. You know, think like you will be thinking when you're eventually being paid to think. Ideally, that's the goal. So presentations. Students will be required to complete 2 presentations throughout the course. You must deliver them over a live video call, and they must include some kind of original visual content, such as slides. You are also required to demonstrate your code. You know, like choose the live stream of your text editor and or terminal. Slides, I mean, you know, no slides is better than just like useless slides. You know, the main thing is like demonstrate your code and show that it's working. But, you know, a couple of slides definitely adds to it. You cannot do an audio only presentation. Just is the putting that out there. Yes. And so we reserve the right to change due dates within reason. We'll provide advance notice. Like, we're not going to just pull things up, you know, and say, oh, you remember that thing that we said was due in 5 weeks? It's actually due tomorrow. Like, that's not going to happen. Mostly, we'll just bump things off, you know, a week, you know, mostly we just use this to move things later. So peer review. So now we'll go over the peer review process and we have more detail on the other page. Students must participate in the class mailing list for submissions by giving other students feedback. This is part of your assignment grade. And this is a tripartite scheme that spans 2 days. So you must submit the assignment by the due date. Otherwise, you will not be able to participate in peer review, and you will receive a zero. Peer review. So after you submit the assignment, you will have 24 hours to review other students' assignments.
You'll be given 2 students to look at.
Yeah. So if you approve of a submission, you will send you will reply to their email on the mailing list with what we call an ACK. And an ACK basically looks like this, like ACKed by. First name, last name. It kind of looks like signed off by, right? But it's act by first name, last name, email at domain.tld. If the student sees a problem, if you have problems with the assignment, then don't send an ACK. Ask for changes. So at the same time, other students will be reviewing your submission, and they'll be asking for changes or giving you X. And it's due within 24 hours of the initial submission. Finally, the student, if canny, will act on the feedback from the received reviews and make a second final submission. So you will be graded on the final submission. So maybe if you catch your own errors or if someone else gives you some feedback, you can make changes and submit it for the final submission. And that is the one that will be graded. And that the 80% of your grade is the actual submission, with 10% of your grade being for each of the reviews that you give people. And you will be graded based on how many issues you miss. Like if it's very obvious checkable things like white space errors or formatting issues, you know, that like you could just run a command and see that it didn't work, you will lose points in your review. If it's like some obscure race condition type of thing that's like hard to get, like we're not going to be
that super intense, crazy, you know,
but if it's yeah, real obvious stuff, you definitely will lose points. So like I said, late work policy, there isn't any. Do not submit late work. Don't submit late work. You can't do it. It messes up the entire system, and you will not be able to participate in the peer review process. You have one exception per semester, kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card, where you can opt out of the peer review process and kind of take a thing. You know, so you can say, oh, you know, whatever, life got in the way, and just, like, take a, you know, whatever. That won't be included in your final grade.
Well, you bypass the peer review. Instead of, if you don't think you can complete it by the normal due date, right, you know, the things are usually due on Monday. So let's say it's one of the ones that's due on Monday. So that means that the first submission, your you know, sort of initial submission would be due Monday at midnight. And so obviously, you know, we'll be having classes on Mondays. People will have a chance to ask questions. And then, you know, by the end of the day on Monday, you'll submit something. And then we'll, you know, send a list of people to review to each person, you know, so it'll go in a circle, whoever has submitted on time. That, you know, you will complete your reviews in the next 24 hours. So at some point within this 24 hours before Tuesday night, you will, you know, reply, you'll look at the code, you'll download the patches, you'll make sure they apply, you'll make sure there aren't any errors, you'll make sure, you know, that it's good. And if it's good, then you'll send it an ACK. Otherwise, you'll highlight problems and reply and say what you noticed. And so that's 2 days. And then, you know, between Tuesday at midnight and Wednesday at midnight, you'll have a chance to do your final submission. I mean, it's possible that someone does not submit an ACK or a review, then that's not going to affect your grade. You still have a chance to modify it. But ideally, you'll receive two ACKs or two reviews, and you'll be able to incorporate that feedback. We also may chime in, you know, if we notice something, we may say something.
Yeah, and you are allowed to comment on other people's submissions that you're not assigned. Like,
yeah,
you can give other people feedback if you would like.
If you want to, yeah. It's just, you know, you have to complete the one.
You
want to
make friends, you know, if you, yeah.
And obviously, like, you know, you should be kind. You should be, like, you shouldn't, you know, like, you don't need to be, like, mean to people. But, yeah, like, you can, when you're
speaking. Yeah,
you
know, no, actually, don't.
Yeah, don't be mean. Just
on the mailing list. Like, that's, you know.
You know, be kind and be respectful. Yeah. Like, obviously, people are trying, but you should tell them. If you notice something, you know, it's all good. Like, this is a low-stakes environment. If you make a mistake, it's no big deal. Because, again, you're not going to get punished if you make a mistake. If someone spots it, then that just means that you get a chance to fix it. And then it's not going to be points that you lose. So hopefully this is a good process that everyone is, you know, this is mutually beneficial. And having a chance to look at other submissions will hopefully help you improve your submissions as well, and get more comfortable.
Students will be given the status of graduated if we determine that the performance has been suitable to the degree that we would recommend them as a candidate for an internship. So basically being graduated on there means, like, we would recommend you.
This is
and
for the,
I guess, yeah, if
this
we
is
graduate
for the
you. Yeah, yeah, for the certificate. Yeah, if we put you as graduated on there, and you know you want to use us as a reference in the future for a software engineering job, then you most likely can, unless some significant thing gets in the way.
I want to come back to the peer review thing really quickly because didn't talk about the get out of jail free thing. So if you do not think that you'll be able to complete your initial version by the stated due date, you or something comes up, oh gee, you know, I'm sick or so whatever, you know. If there's something going on, send us an email and say, I don't think I'm going to complete it on time. Then you will not be in the list of people who get peer review. You can submit your thing sometime between those 2 days. Basically, instead of getting peer review, you get the two extra days. But you can only do that once. during the semester. Once you've used it, it's used up, and then any late submissions are zeros. So one chance, oops, there's something that came up, oops, I'm really struggling with this. I don't think I have enough time. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You can submit your final version by the Wednesday due date, the 2 days after, instead of the Monday due date. But that means you don't get the peer review back. Whatever you submit is your final submission. And I guess also, during the Monday period where you're submitting your thing, if you actually realize you made a mistake and you want to resubmit, you can resubmit as many times as you want, sort of between, whichever one is the last version of the submission before midnight. Okay, that's the one people will give you peer review on. And then you can submit, oops, I noticed another thing. I can resubmit until Wednesday, whatever the last one is before midnight on Wednesday, that's the one that's getting graded. And if there's nothing before Monday, and you're not using your oopsie, then you get a zero. Or if you are using your oopsie and there's nothing before Wednesday, or you don't resubmit, just no late work. That's sort of the policy. Yeah.
So, there was something that I wanted to mention about the, I can't remember what it was. Okay. Forget it. Specific to UML. If you fail to complete a task by deadline with no prior notice, like you don't let us know ahead of time. Like, obviously, remember, these policies are the policies. Like, if you, talk to us individually, like, we can
talk. Some situation, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're not like the government, That's not how this works.
We're reasonable, but we have to lay these out. Yeah. So, yes, if you are not.
Layers of the policies,
If you just stop, if you're not involved, if you don't submit something, if you're not responsive, we email you, whatever. We reserve the right to fail you from the class if you're not involved.
If you just go AWOL and like we contact you and you don't respond in a week, like let's say we have to give it a number. Yeah, you get an F. If you like disappear for 3 weeks, say nothing and come up like and you're like, oh, yeah, can I make it up? Like, no, you fail the course, you should take a W.
Unless there's some like extremely extenuating sort of
If you got lost on an island, you got trapped on a tropical island or something, things happen. You got taken hostage.
Talk to us.
You have cancer.
But generally we just reserve this right in case people don't, and if you're struggling, you can withdraw from the class. Yeah.
Attendance is required, but the only place where we check attendance is on the Google Meet. So, yes, we recommend that you come to the Google Meet. Here's the breakdown of grades. You can look at this later. You know what it means. This is all pretty standard stuff. Here's the scheme. This is just a standard syllabus stuff.
Well, it's a little bit, we should say it is a little bit generous. Anything above a 90 is an A, and everything is sort of adjusted in accordance with that. And then all that, but the rest of the stuff about the great, great points, all that standard boilerplate. You can look, you can peruse this on your own time. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to mention the assignment submission stuff, right? Because that's kind of basically all you'll be doing.
Is there a peer review? There's a separate peer review document, right, or something? I forget where that is.
I remember what I was going to look at. Yeah. So on these, it goes without saying, these times are in GMT. -5, or actually in Boston time, whatever the time zone is in Boston, Massachusetts, or Lowell, Massachusetts, that's the capital of the course. In case you're watching this and it's unclear, that we'll update on the website. So yes, submission guidelines and peer review process. Yeah. So submission guidelines, you should just read this on your own time. Honestly, we're not going to go through this in detail, but, this is basically for assignment zero, like get familiar with this. That's the assignment. We're not going to go over it right now. Code review, you're also going to have to do this. This has some like tips on how to do code review. So I guess we could demonstrate how to get email, right?
Yeah, really quickly, I think. I don't know. Just so that people, I guess so your action items are that you should fill out the application, send us an email so that we have your Gmail and we have your Discord username and we can get you in the server if you need help, and work on setting up a Linux environment like a virtual machine. Again, we're happy to help with that. If you have any questions, please fill out the first thing and then you can join the Discord and you can ask us questions. There is this assignment A1, which is sending, once you send us the thing, we'll be able to get you on the mailing list so that you can submit. Basically, we'll give you the mailing list to send to. We're just going to quickly go over, you really do not need to learn a ton about Git. We're going to talk about it more, but this is all you need to know for this next thing. We should
basically, you need a program called Git send email.
send
you email. Know, the man pages, yeah, git send email. You want to install. If the git space send email command doesn't work,
you may need to install a separate program.
Go to git send email in Fedora. It's called this. On other distributions, probably called someone else. If you're at this point in UMassL, you know how to use Google. Or if in this point in your career, you know, whatever. Everyone knows how to use Google. I don't need to, whatever. So you're going to use this command, git send email. It looks like this, git send email, and you'll pass it a patch. So let's just a quick, briefly look at the man page. Let's just look at that, git send email. And so essentially you're going to pass it a file. You can pass it a patch file. That's like an email file, you'll see. You can also give it a directory later on. There's all sorts of advanced stuff you can do, but you'll use it to send emails. So basically, yeah, actually you're going to go
to show, yeah, the, cloning.
Yeah, into the KDE.
We'll show them how to clone this, right? Show them where this is really quickly.
So,
I don't know.
So good. Right, yeah. So basically we have a repository.
That's pull that up on GitHub, yeah.
Show them. GitHub. I'll do it over this one. GitHub.com/this. Right. Underground software is just like the name for this, like our repos.
And yeah, this is sort of our home base, you know, for all of the code.
Home base for the assignments. And you're going to grab the...
And click on the little green code button.
You know, you're going to do a git clone this, and then it's going to say something else because you don't have it. You're going to go in here. You're going to go into A0, and you're going to see that there's a README file, right? Get comfortable. And so you're just going to make a file. You know, joelsavitz.md, whatever, but whatever your name is. And you say, like, hi, this is a file.
And you're going to put, whatever, like, a fun fact or, you know, introduce yourself somehow in here, say your name, whatever. Your
fact is not fun. You will get a zero.
No,
yeah. So, you know, then, you know, you make a commit. So, like, you can lose git status to see what you need to do. Git add, you know, the file. Or you can just do git commit dash A to add all the...
No, it won't.
Yeah, you actually do need to add it. I haven't touched it yet. Git add the file, right? Now, you know, you can see in git status, it's changes to committed, new file. So then you just do a little git commit. And so... The dash A, you don't really need that, but I always use it. S to add the signed off by line, which is required. It is required. Please do that. And M, you know, nice acronym, ASM, like assembly. So, and then M takes an option. That's just a message.
Or, yeah,
so
you can like just add, not put it in
you know,
there.
A0, you know, add submission. If you make the commit in a slightly different way, you know, whatever, it's the patch that we're looking at. Like, we won't see how you actually make the commit. There's just one way to do it. Add submission. So then you see, right? And if you look at the log, add submission, right? That's the last file. So now you're going to use a command called git format patch. And here's the man page. It basically takes, you know, you could take put this into an output directory, but by default, you basically pass it a number, like minus N, like a number of patches. That's the easiest way to do it. So, like, you know, minus N as in, like, format the last N patches as emails. So because it's just one patch, you're just going to do git format patch minus one. And then you'll see.
Actually, this one should be using the RFC option. I don't know, since this is their initial.
Yes. So you also, yeah, you want to pass it. It's like what, dash dash RFC, right?
And maybe you could even do version one. I don't know if we want to get into that, but
version
V1, I think V1
or V1 dash dash V1.
I think it's dash N one or dash dash one dash N space one. I'm pretty sure. I think that'll try that.
Dash V1.
No. Okay.
Let's see. Wait, V1. Yeah, I usually you can add these things manually. So those are just commands to add. Like, literally all that does is just change. Adds the word RFC and it adds V1. Like, if we didn't put that in, it would just say patch.
You can experiment with this on your own time. And all this is
so here,
printer. But yeah.
Oh, yes. Also, actually, no. Dash dash cover letter.
Oh yeah, we forgot about that. Make sure.
Not him.
Yeah. Format patch.
So let's get rid of this V1 thing.
Okay.
So RFC, get format patch, V1, cover, letter. So that'll give you these two files, and so we can open them both in Vim. You can use whatever text editor you want. You don't have to use Vim, but obviously it's good. And so here, you know, you want to get rid of the thing that says subject, and you'd be like, you know, Joel Savitz.
Assignment zero submission.
Submission.
And then we have talk details in the assignment submissions about what you should include in here. You can read
there
it.
I was 100% successful.
You know, I struggle with this, whatever. And this is all documented in the assignment submissions.
My act was not very fun. You know, whatever it is, you know. And here you can say, like, you know, you probably can add some detail. Like, add an extremely fun fact. So
we have the two patches.
And, you can also add like CCs in here if you want. You know, like someone like Joel.
Yeah, or, I mean, you could do that on the git send email. There's no reason.
Yeah, this is another way. I don't know. You could put it here. You could put it in the git send email. It's just something to know. This is like when you're actually doing these things later on. You know, it's a convenient way to do it, but.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're gonna send these, both of these, so you can see this is one V1 RFC V1. You know, if it's V2, you would put a V2. Right, so let's get out of here, and now basically when we send it, now we can do git send dash email to, and then what are we gonna do? It's like
you'll send it to the mailing list
23. It doesn't exist yet. It does. It's gonna be KDLP fall 23.
Spring.
You're right. It is a spring. All right, time travel. Ooh, that's just a hint of the future. Yeah. Mm-hmm. KDLP dash spring 2023. So at UML, it's gonna be dash UML. And if you're coming through LFX and you're not enrolled in UML, you're gonna do LFX. So we'll just do the UML one for now. And you know, we can do it. Yeah, let's do it to the general, to this one, to the Google groups. These are all empty mailing lists right now. Like, it's, you know, we can forward them.
Are you sure that it's dash and not underscore? Or am I tripping?
It's definitely dash.
Okay.
So this KDLP dash spring 23, we will use this as kind of a place for announcements. I mean, mostly we'll just probably use the Discord, but this will be kind of like everyone will be on this list. And we'll like invite the class to this list and share things. And so the UML and the LFX ones, those will be like for assignment submissions. We had a request that these things be separated last semester because of just, you know, because people wanted to filter out the assignments, but they didn't want to filter out the announcements. So that is that. So all right, get some email too, and then, you know, start our patch. Right now, so now it's going to send V0 0 to 1. Yes, 1 out of 1. Yes, great. Result 250. You will need to work with a file called, git config. It'll have, you'll put some email configuration in there. I'm not going to show this because this might have like password stuff in here. So,
if you look up how to configure this,
yeah, look up how to do
account,
it.
There's information.
There's a,
just feel free to ask questions.
There's a link to that in the Git slides, I believe, on the website.
So, just to conclude, and then we'll open up to questions, and we will stay here for a little bit after this. You know, we're not going to end exactly at 6:15, but we want to end the main thing by 6:15. So fill out the form on the website. It is due by the end of day today. Today is literally an email. You send the email. It's no pressure. If you don't have a resume, ignore it. Like, it's written to be intense because people are applying just from anywhere. And so, you know, but if you're in this class, you're not going to be kicked out of the class. Like, it's just like to get some information. And it's just in an organized way. And send it from your UMSL email address, but include whatever email address you want to use on the mailing list in the email. So we'll have both. And yes, git and git patches. So this is due tomorrow. Like literally anything in here, you just have to get it to work. And obviously, like, contact us if there are issues. setting up Git email. Yes, the due date for people on LFX will be slightly different because we haven't even finalized that list yet. So if you're watching this and you're like, oh no, it's already the future, don't worry about it. So the shell and the compiling the kernel are due at on January 29th at 11:59. This is right before the add drop date. So yeah, I mean, kind of self-explanatory. We will provide help and guidance.
Or actually, I don't know. I don't know whether they're Jan 29 or Jan 30. I think that the last day to drop is Jan 30. I don't know whether we're going to, like, that's a Sunday night. I think usually we were saying Monday night.
Yeah,
I think
it we might bump it up one Jan day.
30. Yeah, but.
Sure. And so we will have plenty of time in here for questions about the assignments, working with Git, you know, working with, you know, we will demonstrate some stuff and see if needed, you know, we will, you know, hopefully, you know, see, but yeah, we will, you know, we want you to succeed. You know, there's no limit on the number of A's. Everyone in this class can get an A, everyone can graduate. You know, there's no like weird scaling thing where only a percentage of people get that. Like everyone can get A's and we hope that everyone does. And that's obviously our goal. So, we want everyone to be graduated on the mentorship.
Joel and Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong, but the next two lectures are reserved for you guys
just to like ask this
whatever you want about the assignments.
We'll be talking more about the shell and more about the kernel stuff soon. But
So and again, if you don't want to get on this the grind, then you know, then don't take this class. Like if you don't want to just do a bunch of coding work and, you know, obviously get a lot out of it and be proud of your work and like say, hey, I, you know, completed this difficult course. If you want an easy A, you know, if you want to just do something where you can take exams, you know, some BS exams and whatever, then drop the course and go take a different course. Because we have no exams. I know, but this is the good news after all the other stuff. Here's all the work you're going to do. This is to compensate for that. We want to compensate for that. There are no exams. Exams, you know, you might have noticed, for you guys, they're not very fun to take. It turns out they're also not very fun to create and grade either. And we don't think that they're particularly useful for this material anyway. So we're not going to do any.
Okay.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
Here's a link to the course application. If you haven't done it, please fill it out. And again, it's front loaded. If you can make it past A2, you will probably be fine. All right. Any questions?
Yes. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. So yeah, before we dismiss the class, right? So I want to add a few words, right? One thing is that so for today is kind of like okay, the information could be overwhelming. But we're going to send all the necessary information through emails, right? First of all, right, so that you can go through them, right, at your own pace, okay? And then just now, right, so Joe and also Charlie, right, they kind of being the hash path, okay? So I would say that, but it could be like a lot, okay? So, but I want to point that out that. So Joe and also Charlie, they design the assignments one by one. So actually for each assignment, it's not like that you need to do a lot. It's not like that you need to take, for example, 8 hours per week, right? Yeah, we are hoping to try to make it to, I don't know, 2 or 4 hours per week, right? Maybe, right? Yeah, you can correct me later, right? But in general, right, so all the later assignment would be based on previous assignment, and we want to design in that way that you don't need to work long hours per week. Okay, so that's the whole purpose, right? And then the last bit is that so this course would be definitely different from some other courses, right? So it's more like that every part covered in here, right, would be kind of some daily routine, daily job when you indeed go into the industry, right? So, and then it's like that your mentor, right, or your senior, right, is trying to help you to round up new projects, okay? That's kind of the process. And then you know how to work with the senior, the mentor, okay? And then, so basically you need to work kind of every week or every other week, but and then you cannot wait until the final and then say I want to put into 10 or 12 hours, and then I will be able to get some grade. That's not going to happen, okay? So I hope that's kind of the spirit of our course, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the spirit is basically if you do the work and you know you've completed the assignments, then the presentations are relatively easy. If you don't do the work and you show up for the presentation and you try to make something up, like it'll be very obvious. It'll be embarrassing. Yeah. So don't do that.
Okay. So yeah, I guess some of students might have class after this mm-hmm. one. So we are going to end today mm-hmm. here, right? But I guess both Joe and Charlie and also me will stay for a few minutes, absolutely. Right? If you guys have mm-hmm. questions, then you can ask. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Charlie.
I'm not actually sure if it's changing, but I feel like this.
So, yeah, are there any questions?
So, do you guys go back to office a lot?
Oh, are they the office, like the Red Hat office? Not very often.
Okay.
Yeah, we're both working remotely, mostly. Mm-hmm.
So Dennis, right?
Yep.
Yeah. When are you graduating?
I'm still an intern, but I graduate summer 2024.
And he's not at UML.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not at UML. Yeah. I mean, I know at Northeastern, right?
No, I go to McGill in Montreal.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
No, you're good.
Okay.
Wow, how could you get that wrong? I'm so offended.
So I have a student here, so let's hear about that. Okay. So questions?
So I guess for me, I'm kind of like the special case. I messaged Charlie about this yesterday about
the hill.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So I have a course on Monday that overlaps with this one. So I was
mm-hmm. Totally overlap, right?
Right.
Okay.
So I was thinking of doing a directed study potentially where I take this course and I like rely on the recordings for Mondays.
Oh, so for Monday, right? Okay. So what are your opinions, Charlie?
That's I think you'd have to talk to the registrar and maybe create a section of Comp 4900. I mean, I've heard of this being done. I had a class mm-hmm. when I was an undergraduate where I, you know, there were two classes that were happening at the same time and they created a section and I was able to enroll in it. I think that how it works is you'd obviously have to say, you know, okay, this is the director's study, we're going to be working on this class, and you know, that's how you get credit for it.
Okay. So
And there's I think there's like a form to fill out. Yeah, when you go to graduate, basically there's a form to fill out that say, you know, it says this Comp 4900 section I took is actually replacing, you know, whichever class it is, you know, Comp 3850.
As long as we have the solution, I'm okay with that. Yeah.
We're totally fine if the Hill wants to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean you'll just be subject to the same requirements, you know. You'll just have less opportunity to ask questions, but you know, you can get talk on the other.
So basically, we need to have another section for the student, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I don't remember exactly how it works, but I think you can talk to the registrar maybe, and there's a way. I think there's a way to create, and you know, again, you know, and we all, you know, we don't need to deal with like we should get the ball rolling on this, but it obviously only needs to get figured out. You know, we have 2 weeks until the ad drop period. You know. But I think it would be a section of like Comp 4900 directed study. Mm-hmm. You could create such a section, and then you would give him a permission number. I think you'd be listed as the instructor. I don't know all the details. You have to talk to the registrar about it. But I think
create
a section, and he would enroll, and then he would have to fill out a form. I think you know to get credit for it. When he graduates.
Charlie's to me, and then I will work on that.
Let's send the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's on the recording. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can end the recording. I mean, there's no questions. Other questions from students. Everyone's leaving.
I just wanted to say something. I think Joel was editing the email for LFX, but I think you edited the text and not the hyperlink.
Oh, that's a good. That's a good. Right. That's a good catch. probably, yeah, where you're just